Today's daf is daf chaf aleph, and we have still in the middle of the sugya of chafamid base. And Rabbi Bo Bar Mamal points out that there seems to be a contradiction in the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Remember, we learned. Let's just take a look at our mishnah for a moment, and we saw that there was a machlokas. Who it is that's responsible over here for the kohen gadol who dies? Who pays for the minchat nesachin and minchat chavitin? Of the Kohen Gadol. So Rabbi Yehuda says Mishal Yorshim. It was Rabbi Shimon that says Mishal Tzibur. Yesterday we had a machlokas, in which indeed it turns out that Rabbi Shimon says Mishal Tzibur, Shenemar Chok Olam, Mimi Shaolam Shelo. That was the diak that we made. The problem is that today Rabbi Abba points out that this means that there's a contradiction in Rabbi Shimon. Because in our Mishnah it says that it's Tznai Beit Din, how a Kohen Gadol should make. Which means that miyikar adin, it should be from the yorshim, according to Rabbi Shimon. So isn't that a contradiction then? Points out Rabbi Bar Bar Mama. Rabbi Bar Bar Mama, boy, makhlef hashitasi to Rabbi Shimon. Taman amar mishal yorshim, roch amar mishal tzibur. Rabbi Shimon just brought a raya that it's mishal tzibur. In the Mishnah, he says, actually, we need a Tanai Beit Din, that it should be Mishal Tzibur. Well, which one is it? Is it a Pasuk? We just brought a Pasuk for it. We mentioned this yesterday. So how do we explain that he says it's only a Takona of a Tanai Beit Din? Om Rabbi Fia Barba, V'lo Yehutu Maksha, this seems to be a very good point. Says Rabbi Yaakov Aracha, that Rabbi Yavu, B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, explained it, that actually, Dvar Torahu Shetehebah Minat Tzibur. You're right. It really is a Diorita, according to Rabbi Shimon. Why then does he talk about a Tanai Beit Din? Because Kivan de Chazi de Kalmitfaka Lishka, when they saw that the Lishka ended up being put under financial pressures for these kinds of situations, and financial pressure in the situation of replacing a Kohen Gadol is not a very good idea, especially in the political machinations that were going on in those times. So Hitkinu Sheteba Minayoshim. They were gozer at that time, that it's Kedai to be govet from the Yoshim. But when they saw that then there were times when the chavitim weren't brought at all, hitkino that takana was that it should go back to the diraisa. Sheteiba mitru matalishka. Okay, there's a whole different, you'll notice that there's all types of different gersaot that you have in the parentheses. If we take out all of this, chozi de komitru kalishka, which doesn't seem all that reasonable, because how often would we have to pay for a chavitim? And it seems a little bit weird that there should be such a pressure on the lishka. So then the question revolved around this. If it was midiraita, so then the pashtus would be that we would need to be govim, not tzibur. Not that we could use money that had been collected for the general korbanot tzibur and say, okay, let's take it out of that. That's not why that was collected. Therefore, they were mitakein that they had to make a tanai that it should indeed be becoming from the lishka. And that's all that he meant. There was a tanai beit din, was that we don't make a special gviyah for this purpose. Rabbi Yosef Amar, Rabbi Yochanan boy, when you said that in circumstances, whether it's coming from the Yorshim and we're darshaning Bo, or whether it's coming from the Tzibur and we're darshaning Khalil, remember that both Shitot held that in the event that there's no Kohen Gadol yet, we bring it, but we bring it whole. There's no Machzita B'Boker, Machzita B'Erev. So now the question is, you're telling me that it's Shleima, but does Shleima mean twice a day Shleima? Or does Shleima mean the two parts that were generally brought as separate were brought together? Because I don't understand whether you're telling me the rest of the pasuk holds, where it says baboker, all of that holds. All we're saying is that the din that it's machzit, that is a special halacha only in a kohen gadol and not in the yoresh and not in the ma'ot tzibur.
Richie.
So this is the shaila. Do we now have double basically the chavitin? Or do we say Shleima b'shachari? Just bring it. You bring it once a day, both parts. And now when it comes to Bein Arbaim, it was already brought. And therefore it's a bit Teila, Bein Arbaim. Kate pshitale, dechtiv minchat tamid. Lechora, we can be poshet the abaya. And the fact that it says minchat tamid, tamid means that it should always be the same. In which case it requires everything else should be the same. The tamid was defined as boker v'erev. So tamid should be defined as boker v'erev. If that's the case, even if I'm bringing it whole, it's still tamid. Tamid whole, and tamid meant twice a day. You should bring it twice a day. But then there's still a problem. The problem is this. We also know that there needed to be shloshet lugim. You have to bring together with the chavitim the nesachim that are brought with the chavitim. Do we mean now that we would bring shloshet lugim shachrit v'shloshet lugim bein arbaim? So now, we know that normally we would have split it. We would have had lug v'mechza. But now, is the lug v'mechza a din in the hakravat ha-chavitim, or is it a din in the mixture of the amount of flour in the chavitim? If it's amount of flour, then it needs to be prorated. If we're doubling the chavitim, so we'd have to double the nesachim, then we'd have to use three lug twice a day instead of three lug half in the morning and half in the afternoon. So that's also a question. What exactly is the Torah doing when it's replacing the mechza with a whole? Is it telling us to maintain the same korban except to do it twice? Or is it just giving a special halacha in the solet that there I need to bring it kalil, but it didn't say anything about the nesachim? So is it shloshet lugin shachrit for shloshet lugin ben arba'im? Or is it still lugu mechza shachrit for lugu mechza ben arba'im? Omer Rebbe Chizkia, afi tzrichalei, hada tzrichalei. There's another point that you're not raising, which also isn't clear. Normally we would take a kometz in the morning and a kometz in the afternoon. Do we now take shnei kometzim baboker, shnei kometzim ben arba'im? So do we say shnei kometzim b'shacharit v'shnei kometzim ben arba'im because we prorate the kometz as well? Or is it kometz achat b'shacharit v'kometz achat ben arba'im the way we normally do with the mincha? Omer Reb Yosa, well, you can think about it this way. Klum lomdu l'kometz lo mimichat chotei. I mean, what was the marker b'chlal that there's a din of kmitza on the chavitim? We learned that out from a minchat chotei. So a minchat chotei, mal alat shnei kometzim. I mean, isn't it true that if you would be bringing double the amount of the normal minchat chotei, if you bring two minchat chotei, so then you would take shnei kometzim? So you were chai of two things. You brought more for your mincha. So l'chor would be the same thing. I think we should be goris, the parentheses here. Says the Gemara, no. Manta man tzrichalei afachat tzrichalei. You don't prove anything to be from there because I have exactly the same suffix there as I have here. What would be the din on a minchat chotei that was double the size? On Reb Chizkia, we could say the same thing about the shloshet lugin. What's the mocker of the shloshet lugin? Klum lamdu shloshet lugin lo mitamid shabin arba'im. So just like by the tamid shabin arba'im, let's say that if you had put it off and now you weren't able to bring all your shloshet, remember that you can bring minchatam v'niskehem ba'erev, minchatam v'niskehem achar yamim rabim with darshan. So if you weren't able to bring the mincha, so you bring the mincha whenever you can. Okay, so mal alat shloshet lugin. Just like in that case, you'd be bringing every time you bring it, shloshet lugin. So if you do, I've got shloshet lugin. Every time you bring it, you bring the entire amount. What's so terrible that you should have to say that you'd split it? No, says the Gemara, manta man tzrichalei, afkan tzrichalei. That's not so clear to me either. That's part of my question. Same way I'm asking what the din would be here, I would ask what the din would be there. Says, we darshaned that there's no me'ila because of a bezdin, a tonight bezdin in the Mishnah. It was one of the Shiva tonight. It says, Reb Shimon ben Akiva, Reb Shimon ben Yonatan, I don't understand. The Mishnah is mashma that min yoraisa you should be mayal. That bedinu shiyimaluba, it's just that they came along and made it tonight bedin shelo yimaluba. But that's not true. Well, Tony, doesn't it say beferish that we darshan the pasuk chatat malamet shemoalim ba, and we also darshan ba moalim ve'ein moalim ba afra, that it's only a din and me'ila on the chatas itself, not on the afara chatat, which means that min yoraisa you're not mayal. So why does the Mishnah make it sound like actually Mi'ikra din you would be mo, but the Rabbonim made it tonight that they were magdishin for that purpose? Rabbi Avu, no. The point is this. Mi'ikra din you're right. There is no Mi'ila min you're right. However, Brishona, Hayum mit Kashkashinba, probably should say. They used to dray a cup about the Ephra Poro, is it Alta Kashkashinba? We said, if we keep this gears, the Steipler learns that it means they used to make Kashkesh with a cuff. Not with a kuf, which means to rub their hands in it, so it would be tyra. But the parshim, the before should bring that they would put it al gabi makotehem. They used to ascribe magical properties to the Efer HaPorah, and they were mizalzel in it. V'notnim ota gabi makotehem bezilzel. In other words, a lashon of kishkush. V'gazrush yimaluba. They originally made gzeira min rabbanan to be mayo. Kivan shenigderu. Once this problem was fixed. And actually, it's clear elsewhere in the Bavli, it wasn't just that they, since it was fixed, they were mevatel the takana. It was because they had overcorrected. They had so overcorrected that people became so makbid on the Efer HaParla that where there was a suffix tuma, they didn't want to use it because they were afraid of me'ila. So they ended up being marav tuma. So they decided that we don't need the gezer anymore. So they made it tzvar gazrusha lo yimaluba. V'yala kinim. Okay, here we're talking about the kinim that the sapak has to, if it flies away or if it becomes possible, Once already we mentioned this, the Gemara wants to point out that even though the Mishnah didn't say Beferush Avudot, but we had learned earlier that there must have been a Tnayon Avudot as well, because otherwise we ask Haisha Azot B'maymit Kaperet, what's going to happen to the woman who put her money into the Pushka? How would she get her Kapora? And we said over there, Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, Tnay Beidin Hu, that he misapek et akinim, who misapek et apsulot, and there we added even the Avudot. So we want to remind you about that Sugya, so that you don't leave out the Avudot in our Mishnah, even though it doesn't discuss it here, but clearly it's taking that into consideration as well. If it's not a din in Mishal Tzibor, but it's a din in a sapak, as Rabbi Yosef says, then the sapak would also be a takana for avudot, not only for psulot, for flyaways. Hadron alof perek ma'ot shenimtza. Ooh. Never, he's full of surprises. It says in the Torah, chatasi. So use the words. It isn't really a chatas, because it's not even kache yaguf. It's actually kache berakabayit. That's interesting. But the Torah gave it dinim of chatat.
So who does also, the Mesakos would have to do on that day?
That's right, yes. 100%. Kol harukin hanim tzaim b'Yerushalayim tahorim. So now, normally, we have all type of gezerot about the questions where we have sofik tumis, where the rabbanim were gezer in cities and so on to be machmir. However, in Yerushalayim, they weren't machmir. Because in Yerushalayim, basically most of the people would be mitaher themselves, and therefore were very machmir. We didn't want to be marabah sveikas of tuma in Yerushalayim. So therefore the halacha is like this. Normally if you would find some spunim, someone had spit, generally speaking, in our race, you'd have to have a suffix. Maybe it came from a zav, or from someone who was mitame as the level of a zav, and therefore his rok would be tame. So kol arokina nimtzim b'Yerushalayim artahorin. When it comes to Yerushalayim, we weren't gozer on suffix rokin b'Yerushalayim, except for one location. Chutz Michel Shukeoyon, unfortunately, our Barnea is not here today. This is terrible. It's probably the cardinal. So Chutz Bishop Shukeoyon, we'll see what the difference was in the Shukeoyon and the Gemara. We're over there, you did have good reason to be Choshesh. Divi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says it depends on the location. Bishar Kol Yimot Hashana. So if it was during the year, not during the time of the regal, so then, be'emtza tmeim and bitzadim. Remember, be'emtza tmeim and bitzadim atorim. So, in that location, we had most of the people would actually be tamei. They would walk in the middle of the street. Those who wanted to be careful not to be come into contact, but they would walk on the sides. B'sha'at haregel, she'be'emtza tahorim, she'bitzadim tmeim, she'be'shamuatim mistakin litzadim. Most of the people, anybody who could become tahor, would become tahor, likrat haregel. And therefore, 99% of the people were tahor. Those few individuals who could not be mitair, were still active zavim and so on. So they would walk on the sides in order not to be metame others. Kol ha-kelim ha-nimtzim b'Yerushalayim. Furthermore, normally we're gezer on stam kelim, if we have no idea where they come from, so there's a suffix tuma. In Yerushalayim, most of the kelim would be tahirim, but what if you find them, derech yiridah lebeit ha-tfilah, if you find them on the stairwell, going down towards the mikveh, the assumption is they fell on the way to being mitahir in the mikveh. So then they're tmein. But in those days they had different staircases, going up and going down, in order not to come into contact with each other. So if you find them on the stairs that were derech alayis, Hashem Barnea's in here, you can talk about all of the places that were found. Yeah. Okay, we've got a replacement. There's the difference between Aliyah and Yerida.
Exactly.
Yeah. Terrific. Because they would be mocked, but always to have different Aliyah Yerida. Actually, the Rambam understands those words of Rabbi Meir as referring to what's going on this morning over here. You think so? Is that what it is? It's the Mitsubishi air conditioner they stole from us. That's what it is. They put in a crummy air conditioner instead.
What? This isn't the one?
You know what he did. No. He ordered that piece of junk.
Oh, yeah.
Took the money for the Mitsubishi. Yeah, but we don't have it. We only paid for it. Yeah. All right. So he learns that Rabbi Meir indeed is making a nafkamina. Yeah. Is making a nafkamina in terms of what, how the kli is positioned, whether it's positioned, you know, is it mefurag? It looks like it's got to be taped, put into the mikveh and so on. Rabbi Yossi omer kulan tohorim, actually said Rabbi Yossi, all kelim are tohorim. There's no assumption that people hang around anywhere with kelim tumeim, unless they're kelim that are used specifically for tumah. So if you have the sal, and the magrefa, and the meritza, that are miyuchadim lekvarot, the chaver kadisha used to have a particular type of basket that was used for collecting remains. Remember, they used to bury people and then rebury them. So that was the norm, because they didn't have the type of air shipments that they have today. So generally, one who died was buried wherever he died. And then, after the body decayed, they would bring the remains to the family plot. So the sal, the magrefa, was a particular type of rake that was used for collecting bones. And the meritza was richi. That's not bad. Richie, that's only about three megabytes. I'm going to come on. So the meritza was a sharp, pointed, to bird-shaped thing. It looked like a bird's beak. Other people call it the tzipora. So the meritza was something that was used for cracking stones to be able to use for the covering of the kever, the matzeva. Except for those, which are miyuchadim lekvarot, those are the only problems. In normal kelim, we don't have to be misupak about.
Even if it's on the stairs on the way
down?
Does this mean we went up the
wrong way? No, but that's where, I mean, you don't know that he was going with tefillah specifically for this. Maybe he's going to tefillah for himself. Now, this is only in terms of chulin. But how about when it comes to benogea kochim, so over there, even stam things that are completely Torah for chulin are considered to be tummy. There we have much more chomor standards. And a sakin, so you find a knife that is kosher l'shchita, you want to use it for shechting your korban pesach. So if it was nimtzeit b'arba asar, if you find a shchita knife on the 14th, you can use it for shchita. Because anybody that was going to use it would have had to been tevel it, sorry, the day before. Because you would need to wait till Erev Shemesh. There's no way, therefore, that you have to think to yourself, maybe he was planning on being matired later today, because later today it wouldn't become Torah in time for the Shechita. Furthermore, you don't have to be cheshish that it fell yesterday, because there's so many people that would have been immediately picked up, and if it was lying on the ground, it would have been swept up. So therefore, it's got to be from today, and Memela, we have to assume it was Tavu from yesterday. However, if you find it on the 13th, so then the individual who dropped it may have been planning still on being tevelit later today, so that it would be Harif Shemesh by this evening. So then you'll have to go and be shown it umatvil. You'll have to be tovelit again. The Rambam learns the word shone means you'll have to go and get Efer HaPora on it again. Because who knows if today wasn't the seventh day. So you'll have to do that and then be matvil. In other words, we even have a chashash of tumat mate on it. On the other hand, if you find a kofitz, now, a kofitz is something that people wouldn't likely use on their carbon pesach.
Well,
not for kutchin. That's a gezerah. One of the milas, a kutchin. A kofitz, of course, is a butcher cleaver. Now, what the heck would you be using that for in a carbon pesach? We're not allowed to break a bone. So therefore, it's unlikely that the kofitz was mituhar. So over there, you would have to be, even if you found it on the 14th, then you want to use the kofitz. So bezeh ubezeh, shone umatvil. You'd have to be mitayar it on either the 13th or the 14th. That's interesting, because the Gemara, I mean, in the Bavli, here we're not icing in it, but in the Bavli, we're medayik, why can't the kofitz be planned to be used on the Chagiga Arba'asa, if you don't hold like the Mandir? But does this mean the Mishnah is telling you, Stam, that the Chagigat Arba'asa is the same thing in the Korban Pesach, and it's usher to break bones? So the Gemara goes into a whole Ukimta over there, that it's talking about that the Nasi was ill. You remember this whole story we had back in the time. The Nasi was ill, and so the middle was a suffix whether it was going to be brought to Tumah anyway. So for a Korban Pesach, was only one suffix, so then they would table it. But for the Chagigat Arba'asa, if it would be Betuma, then we wouldn't have a Chagigat Arba'asa. We don't bring the Chagigat Arba'asa to Betuma. So there's two Sfekas. Maybe the Nasi will die, we'll bring Betuma, we won't have it. Right? Okay, and then maybe Stam, it wasn't, it'll be Ba, and I won't need it. If it's Ba, be Meruba, not Meruba meaning a lot of people, but Meruba meaning a lot of meat. In other words, I have very few members of my Chabura, so I don't bring a 14th, because I got plenty of meat anyway. And therefore, a Svek, and the guy says, the heck with that, I'm going to be taking all the lines at the mikvah today, forget it, get all the American yeshivas going. So kufitz bezel bezel shonel matibim. Chalar ba'asar liot b'shabbat. Now, if the 14th is on a Shabbos, then you cannot do the tefillah on Shabbos. So then it must have been that it was made Torah the day before. Shochet ba'miyad. How about if you find it on the 15th? So then also, shochet ba'miyad. So you would be able to use, in this case, since you can't be tevel on yontif, and you can't be tevel on Shabbos, even if it's a kofitz, most learned, you could be shochet ba'miyad. because certainly you're going to be using your kofitz on your normal meat during Yantin. So if you find it on the 15th, it must be it was made Torah for kosher. Nimtz
Archer. Kofitz is considered kosher shrita.
Why not? Yeah, anything's kosher shrita. A rock is kosher shrita. A piece of grass is kosher shrita. As long as it's kosher shrita. I mean, as long as it doesn't have any kukimais, but the material is irrelevant. So nimtze akshurala sakin, in a particular case where we find the kofitz actually tied to the sakin, so then it gets the same thing as the sakin. Harayit yisakin. Rabbi Ami B'Shem, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi says, you know what was wrong with the Shuk HaElyon? They had katsran shel nochrim hayasham, the laundry workers of the goyim would hang out in the Shuk HaElyon, and since, all the Chinese laundry, and since the Rabbanim were mitakein, that the nochrim have a din of tumas zivas, so even though there wasn't real tumas zivas, but they were already goyzer on roke, as if it had come from azov. Omer Bechanina, you know, it was a weird kind of place, because they had these wild donkeys there, arodot, that they used to just, also the goyim there, the workers, would just actually slaughter these things. They were used for pet food. Of course, the pets were lions. So the melech would have a collection of lions. In other words, the Jerusalem Zoo. So where did they bring the food from? They brought it from, so that people would walk through there. And are you a leirig alim shtakim them anakuvotehen? And the people who needed to be tahar would be walking through this blood. I mean, and nobody ever said anything about it. Nobody suggested, what about Tuma of the Dam of these Nevelas? Why didn't anybody bother them? Now, you'll remember that we had this entire sugya earlier, whether the din of Heter of the Dam Nevelas is said only in the terms of Dam, but once you have enough Dam to coagulate into the shear of a Kizayit, which would be a Revi'ez Dam, then it would be Tamei, or whether even if it was a Revi'ez Dam, there was no din of Tuma. We went through this whole sugya. We're simply going to repeat the whole sugya that we had earlier. So Rabbi Simon, B'Shem Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, says, Ma'aseh b'pirda mishal beit Rabbi, Shemita, this starting from here is where we had the sugya earlier. There was a story where Rabbi, reminded you that was an awfully famous mule, because it was the mule that prevented Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair from coming in to visit Rabbi. So anyway, finally died, boy was Rabbi happy. Anyway, so, and Tiaru et Amea Mishum Nevela, the Pesach in the base Rabbi, we'll see that was Rabbi Yehuda, was Matayer the Dam. So Rabbi Lazar went and asked Rabbi Simon, when you say he's Matayer the Dam, at Kama, how much Dam? Veloi Giv, he wasn't Megiv at all, there was no answer. So he went and he asked Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi said, "Ad Rabbi eat tahor yoter mikam tamei." And Rabbi Lazar was very resentful. Bash Rabbi Lazar, the lo chazal Rabbi Simon shmuata. But Rabbi Simon never wanted to be mefarish that there was a difference between a revius. Rabbi Bibi aviyate matin hadenu. Now Rabbi Bibi was sitting around saying over this maisa that with the period of Rabbi and that they were matir the dam. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisson was there. He said to him, "Ad kama." Before we didn't have this Amarle, it was Ad Kama, it said Ad Ravi Tahor Yotermikan Tamei. And he left it as a question. And Rabbi Bibi gave him a nice big kick. But, so Rabbi Zrika was horrified. I don't know, Rabbi Zrika, what's going on over here? Began to Sharlachat Baipe. All he did was ask you a question. What are you kicking him for? Amarle began to Lohavidaiti be. What are you asking me? Well, I'm insane. You know that. Of course I kick him. Don't Rabbi Chonim. Vahoyu Chayecha Tuluyim Lachamineged. What does it say in the Torah and the Torah? That your life will be hanging in front of you. This is referring to somebody, a guy who doesn't have his own storage area. What's he got? A little basement? They only can buy enough grain to last him for a year. So his life is constantly hanging in front of his face. What's he going to do a year from now? What if he runs out of grain? And then it continues on. Gets worse than that. Upacharata laila v'yomam. You'll be terrified day and night. That's somebody who buys from a wholesaler who only has a month at a time. Somebody who lives from day to day in the makalat or in the bakery is a man who doesn't believe in his own life. So what do you think happens to such a person? He goes insane. And me, I buy in the makalat. And you're asking me why I kick him. You're lucky I didn't kill him. So how am I supposed to think straight? Somebody should ask me a question to put me in a position where I have to give him an intelligent answer when I can't even think about my next breath. Mike, anyway, what's the bottom line now that we've gone through everybody's problems? No. Come on, you got to take the Gemara as it's meant. Don't start asking too many questions. No, anyway. Yeah, we understand that there's such a level of anhaga for us. I mean, that's what the term means. And on some level, it means a person is shattered by that type, by this type of life. We get used to it. But we're certainly not normal people. And the level of stress and anxiety and so on, we don't even realize what's making us anxious. The fact is that when you're going to ask a person who ought to be totally mad why he kicked somebody, who asks him a question that he's incapable of concentrating on. You ask your questions at the right time, at the right place, in the right mindset. When it comes over to be a Talmud, asks me a question out of the blue. I think it's easier to kick him. Exactly. What are you doing to me? And meanwhile, it's a nice lesson. You can certainly see very evidently in the behavior out on the street today the level of this kind of stress. People kill each other for parking spots. I mean, it's insane. It's truly insane. I mean, you never see something like that in the bush. Mike, don't. So what's the bottom line? Hey, Rabbi Yeshua ben Betera, al dam nevelot shu tohor. I understand what you're asking. It says beferish, dam nevelot is tohor. It's one of the edus that we have in Idias. Why can't we rely on that? Because how do you know that means tohor being metame? Maybe tohor means tohor milachshir. We already had that whole sugya. That some maybe the gabi mashke beit mat b'chayah. You say it's b'chayah. It might be b'chayah for being mashir. Other things to be makabel to me. How can it mean that? Taman tanina dam asheretz betameki v'soro metame ve'eno machshir ve'en lanu kayotzebo. Here we have a very interesting halacha that a sheretz can be metame with a very small shear, which is a shear of ke'ad dasha. Nothing else is metame with such a small shear. And what's more amazing is that that dam would not be makshir at all. We don't have another example. Something could be metame, but can't be makshir. If it's a mashka, it ought to be makshir. And we don't have such a case. If your interpretation, Rabbi Yeshua, is correct, that dam nevelis is tohar milahakshir, but it's still tame, there you go. We have another perfect example of such a case. But this is a rare thing, dam nevelis, that you say we don't have another such case. So it's here it says, Einanu kiyotzibo. Answer the Gemara, maybe Einanu kiyotzibo means kishiur tumato. We have no other example of a case like this where a nadasha would be matame and not machshir. But certainly, we may have normal cases. I mean, in the Vela, we're talking about the shir over there would be, the way I'm learning, the equivalent of a kezayis, because a revius of dam, when it's coagulated, is the shir of a kezayis, in which case it's a kibisaro. And that's not so rare. So maybe that's all that it meant. Om Rav Yosi. Pligi v'treina moroin. We'll turn it up. Charamar tamei v'charamar tohor. There was a machlokas amaroyim as to what the din is of a revius dam of an avela. Ma diomar tamei, Karebi Yehuda over there in Idios who talks about hilov shita that it's tohor only up till the shear of a revius. Ma diomar tohor, he was relying on the edus of Rabbi Yeshua ben Betera min hastam. He said it's tohor, period. Not tohor milatamei, milahakshir. Tohor. Omalei Rav Avduma de minachuta. You know what? That works out beautiful, the yehud. Because it was Rabbi Yehuda who was Moreh Horaot in Rabbi's home. And so if the psak over there was that the chamor, the dam, would star only till a kizayit, meaning a revi'it, so then that would be very much consistent with Rabbi Yehuda's shita as expressed by you right now. Now, lo kein omer Rabbi Avu b'shem Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, lo gazru ala rokin shib Yerushalayim. Why is the Shuk HaElyon exactly different? I mean, if you're telling me we weren't Gozer, so then we weren't Gozer. No, the Shuk HaElyon was different. It wasn't the Gezerah. Over there, that was the norm to find. It was Rok of Akum, and that's a standing, that wasn't Nogea specifically Yerushalayim, it wasn't Nogea Safik, it was a din that they said, that Rok of Dokrim is Betame. So therefore, there we had to isolate that area. So the Tmeim, they took over, because basically they were the rove, and they would just walk down in the middle of the street. Those on the side would say to them, watch out, proshu, don't be metamimi. It was almost everyone was tar, so the Tahorim Ha'alkin Shibolet, they would go straight like the Shibolet, meaning they would take up the whole middle of the street. Vatmeim Ha'alkin Min Atzad, and they're the Tahirim of Ma'alkin Stam, they didn't have to worry about it. It was the Tmeim Omrim Lahem, anybody who was Tame, which was rare, would warn people around, watch out, don't get close. Wait. I thought one of the things that we were makbid on not to be makbid to in Yerushalayim is that we weren't gozer, that we have to be chayish and kalim to be tummy. We just assume that everything is tar, especially since we have dinim about safek tumim v'shel rabim. Why should we be gozer? No, but you see, Mikivan Shinimtsu Derech Yirida Lebeit HaTvilah Nasa Hochiach. I mean, if you're finding it already on the way down, the stairwell down to the mikveh, I mean, that certainly gives you very strong grounds to suspect that you were actually going down to the mikveh to be tevela. Aba Sha'ul Hayakoreo Tam Tziporin. Those meritzin that you spoke about, that were going to be used to be meritz to the, for the magrifa, meritza, lekvorot, he used to call the meritza a birdie. Why do you call it birdie? Because it was sharp. It was shaped like a bird. So mandyomer tziporin, she don't melt tziporin. And mandyomer meritza, or because it's meritza to have in the betak forot, this is like an extremely effective tool to break off large pieces of rocks that were good for putting up over the kvorot. Kufitz, tani hasakin kshura la arezo kamotan. So now, if the other mandyomer holds, this is machlokas, actually it's spoken out more clearly elsewhere. Does this mean that the kufitz has the din of the sakin? Does it mean the sakin has the din of the kufitz? Are we being Mekel or are we being Bachmer? Because it's Kshura. In the Braise it says, if the Sakin is attached to the Kofitz, then the Sakin has the more Chomer Din, and we assume that it wasn't Tovel, rather than vice versa. Parochet shenitmeit bevlad hatuma matbilin ota bifni. We remember that we have quite a few parochot in the Beit HaMikdash. We have the main parochet, obviously, the parochet, actually it's an interesting thing, that it used to be that there was a parochet that was mavdil, in the first Beit HaMikdash, between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashi. In the second Beit HaMikdash, they actually had to make two parochot that would be the entire height and width of the Echal. The reason for that is because since they doubled the size and height of the Beit HaMikdash, they were unable to support, the construction materials that they had, were unable to support a thin wall. They couldn't make the wall thicker because the width of the wall was part of the tzur of the Beit HaMikdash that was given over in the Megillah to Shmuel Baruch HaKodesh. Therefore, they had no choice but to keep it the same thickness. Problem is, you could not make a wall that was that high, you're talking about hundreds of feet high, that was just a little normal wall thickness without having it collapse. So they replaced it with two parochots. And the distance between them would be the area that was the wall originally. The reason was they were misupak, whether the distance, the thickness of the wall, was meant to be included in the Kedusha of the Kodesh or the Kodesh HaKadosh. Fine, so they had two enormous parochot, which were, we'll see, that it was extremely heavy. To be tabled in water, forget about it. I mean, like, this thing weighed after it was wet. So that was a problem. Then you only had parochot on all of the sharim. The sharim were covered with parochot as well. And then the knisa into the heichal, there was also a parochet covered behind the door. So if any of these parochot would be touched by a vlad hatuma, now obviously, midiraisa, Richie, midiraisa, is a vlad hatuma capable of being matami a parochet? Remember that kalim are only mekabel tumah from an ava tumah. But remember as well the famous gezerah on mashkim. That mashkim were much more machmer on than we are on other things, because there are mashkim that are avei satuma, all of the mashkim of azav and azava are avei satuma. So we were gozer a number of important gezerahs on mashkim. One of them is that mashkim are always considered to be a risha in the tumah, even if they were touched by a shlishi. They become, which is unheard of anywhere else. And then one of the things that we were gozer, as we saw about making kiddush, if the mashkim, your hands are wet, and so on, you'll be matami the kli. We were gozer that mashkim in the rabbonin can be matami a kli. When it comes to kodesh, of course, we're very machmir. So that if somehow or other someone touched one of these parochot with wet hands that hadn't been washed even, horror. So then you'd have to be matami the parochot. However, since it's not a diraisa, and since it took hundreds of people to take this thing down and be tivalit, simply because of the weight, they didn't take it out of the Azara to be matirit. They used the mikveh in the Azara so that at least they could save that much, because it wasn't really deraisa tameh, therefore there was no chiyuv to remove it from the Azara. So in that case, they would be matirit in the Azara itself. Umachrisino tamiyat, and you put it back up immediately. Shinit make the avatum. Unfortunately, if it came in contact with an avatum, it's the time became diorite. Then the prophet is a kli, the godam are kelim. So then matbilinota bechut, you have to take it outside like anything else that's tame. Vishotchinota bechel, and you can't even put it back up right away because it's still tame until the sun sets. It needs harif shemesh. So you would spread it out in bechel, which was on place of the Harabite before there was a soreg there, which was that was the place where they discovered the warning sign about the Greeks, you know, in Greek, that Goyim can't come up. What is that? I don't know, I can't even make it up. So they would hang the parochet there and let it dry, and meanwhile the sun would set, and then they could bring it in. Im haita chadasha. And what's interesting is that any new kli would require a tefillah. The reason for this is it's called kelim hading morim b'tayra. Kelim hading morim b'tayra still require a tefillah. Now the reason that they require tefillah is because we're cheshesh that before it was finished, it wouldn't be mekabel tumah at all. So what if there was something on it which they hadn't been zayir from tumah? Suppose one of the women working on the parochet had moistened a thread in order to get it through a needle. Something like that. Then the moment that it becomes finished, it'll now be mekabel tumah from anything that when he wrote that was on it or so on. So therefore we made a takana that in general, kelim that are completed, even though they were completed b'tayra, we need to take them to the mikveh. So a brand new parochet was not put at the chel where people wouldn't see it. Instead, shorchinota algaga itzteba, kidei shir eha amet milaktashi ina'a. People needed to see these parochot because they were astonishingly beautiful, very expensive, as we'll see. And therefore, this was a great opportunity. Before we hung it, we took it to the mikveh and we let it dry in a way that people would be able to see it. Yeah. The stadium seats. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer Mishum Reb Shimon Ben Askian Parochet Ovia Tefa. The thickness of each parochet was a tefa, enormous. V'al shivim u'shtayim nimim ne'ereget. V'al kol nima v'nima esrim v'arba chutim. Now it was made either, if the gears is nimim, there are other gears that have nirim, which would mean that on the hopper thread, that keep the threads in place on the weaving machine, or it could mean the actual number of threads. Each one of these threads, in other words, at a time, each one of these threads was made out of 24 separate chutim. And we'll see the analysis of how we get there in the Gemara. So we have the Treles Vagaman, Vetolat Shani, and the Sheish. Each one of those four different types of thread needed to be kaful Sheish, is the assumption. And therefore, each one of them was 24 threads thick, which is why you ended up with a parochet that was a full tefach, that's like 6 inches here, of thickness, just the weave, which is unbelievable. Imagine wearing a sweater like that.
The mikveh inside would have to be huge.
Huge. Yeah, Yam Shel Shlomo. 150 mikvahs. And it was al shivim v'shtayim nimin nereget, akol nima v'nima esrim v'avachutim. Orka, here we're talking about the big parochot that were between, that took the place of the traxin, between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So it was 40 amos high, 20 amos wide. Just imagine the size of this thing and the weight of this thing. Mishmonim v'shtayim ribo haita na'aseit. Now there's a number of different girsaot here and explanations. If it's ribo instead of ribot, which occurs elsewhere, ribot means young little girls, you know, sweet little girls. Well, got a little bit of a connotation there. But anyway, so then it would mean we needed 82 women that were working on it to cover the various threads and so on. If it's ribu, it means 820,000 something or other. So it could mean 820,000 dinner is what it cost, haitanasek. Could mean that it required 820,000 different spools, some learned, in order to cover the full, if you analyze the full width and height of the parochet based on the 24 threads in each one of the nimim, it comes out to 820,000. And shtayim osim b'chol shana, we would make two of these a year. The shalosh meot kohanim matbilim otav. You need it to be tevela, you need 300 people supporting it to get it out of the water again because of how much it weighed. Now, ilu amar, where do we get the idea that it's 24? Because, look, the Torah specifies, it says four meaning. The treles v'agaman v'telat ha'shani v'sheish, mosh zor. Now, mosh zor is an odd word. You would have expected that the Torah would have used a word like chut. So if we used the word chut, then it would have meant one thread of chelet and a vagaman and so on. If it wanted to say that these were double chutim, it would have said the word kaful. To make it even larger and to have it a really braided thread, you would have said shazur. That would have been shlosha. If you say mashzor, it means double shazur. Double shazur would be shisha. Then you had four different types, the treles vagaman, telat shani, and sheish. All of that was mashzor, so times four equals 24, six times four. Now, a braita says that it was actually 32. Each one of the warp or weave threads, or weft threads, had 32 threads in them. What was that based on? That Tana holds like this. Ilu amar chut would have been one. If it would have said kaful, it would have meant two. If it would have said shazur, it would have been to use two kaful threads, which would have meant four. Mashzor is double. Shazur is eight times the four. So therefore, which are the four different species, you end up with flatim v'trin. Another brayta said arba'im v'shmona. And they darshan like this. Ilu amar chut echad. Kaful shnai. If you would have wanted to say a braid, you would have said kalui. Kli'ah. Kli'ah would mean braided. That would have meant three. If you say shazur, what you mean is a doubled braid, which is six. If you say mashzor, then you're talking about shneimasar, double the shazur. And the shneimasar times four, the tchilat v'agamantolat shani v'shesh, you have now a mikan, arbaim v'shmon. Katuv echad omer ma'aseh rokein, v'katuv echad omer ma'aseh choshev. The Torah describes the way in which this was made. So the masach lepetach ha'oel, where over there it says asita masach, it says make it maaseh rokein. Although there too, it says chelet ha'gaman, tolat shani, v'sheish mazar, but it ends with the words maaseh rokein. However, when it talks about the parochet, the main parochet, asita parochet chelet v'agaman, v'tolat shani, v'sheish, mazor, maaseh choshev, obviously there's a difference between maaseh rokein and maaseh choshev. Rikma is needlework. Maaseh Hoshev is where you work out what a weave will be when you're making it. So you can make very complex patterns built into the weave itself. So what is the difference? How are these differences expressed in terms of what I saw? So answers the Mishnah, the Gemara over here. Maaseh Rokein would mean to put in on one side of the material, partzuf echad. Maaseh Hoshev would mean that you would have a picture on either side of the material. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia, Chadamar Maasero came means not that you did it cheaply. You did two pictures, except that the thread that made one picture was the thread that made the picture in the back. You simply went through. So you would have an arimikan, and an arimikan would be the same picture on either side. Whereas the Maasechoshev would mean that the weave would carry an arimikan and didn't have to have anything because you didn't put it through. Maasero came. On the contrary, the needlework was arimikan v'chalakmikan, was the maaseh choshev was so complex that you could have a weave that's a tefach thick, having different pictures on either side by altering the warp and the weft, which was really, that's why I call it choshev. You have to, nowadays, of course, they use computers for this. But then they had to work it out. I mean, that's why those rugs were so expensive and so on. It's an immense amount of work and thinking. This was actually the first. You know that the first computerized cards, before there were really computers, the punch cards, the first punch cards were used in the weaving machines. Because what they would do is they would use the actual punch card to allow the contact to go through to determine which threads would, and that's where the whole idea of the punch cards originated. It was way before IBM. But then it was modified, used for computers too.
And then they were used for two.
Yeah, we just found that out though a couple years ago. Not the punch card. IBM hasn't paid yet. I say we all move to Mac. Right. So, Bishmoni Mishtaim Ribu Aitai Naaseit. And Rav Yitzchak Bizer B'Shem Shmuel says when it says, he's not referring to this, it's a mistake in the Dibur HaMatchil, he's referring to the Shmonu, the Shalosh Meot Kohanim, Tovlimoto. We know the Shalosh Meot is always a key to let us know that it's Guzma. The word 300 is what's used to tell us that we're talking about a very large number. And we're just exaggerating. It's like I say, Tilskai, 300. So it means a guzma. Another example of that is when it comes to kachin. Pa'amim haya alei kishalosh meot kur. It's referring to the tapuach that was on the mizbeach, where they used to take the deshen and pile it up to make room for the other evarim. So it says sometimes there were. It's not good for your heart, Rich. Don't fall asleep. It says sometimes there were 300 kur, which is insane. It says Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Bamashem Shmuel that too is a guzma. Of course, never had 300 kur of ash on the mizbeach. All right, let us review. Rabbi Bo Bar Mama Boy, isn't this Michlefa Shita Seder Rabbi Shimon? Taman Amar Miliraisets Mishel Yorshim, Vach Amar Miliraisets Mishel Tzipur. Om Rabbi Bar Bav, Lo Yehut Umakshah. Alter Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha, Rabbi Avu, Bishem Rabbi Yochanan explained it. Dvar Torah Ushetaheba Bana Tzipur. But Kivan Dachazi Deka Mitcha Kalishka, so then Amar Yigvu Mina Yorshim. Kivan Dachazi De Pashuba Yorshim, Hitkin Ushetaheba Mitrumata Lishka. Rabbi Yossi, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Boy, Mahu, Shalema Bishachri, Shalema Ben Arbaim, or Shalema Bishachri, and that's it, Betela Ben Arbaim. Kate Pshita Lei, if you answer that one by saying the Chtim in Chatamid, you now have to ask yourself, Shloshet Lugin Mayim, Shloshet Lugin Shachri, Shloshet Lugin Ben Arbaim, or Lugu Merza Shachri, Lugu Merza Ben Arbaim. Om Rabbi Chistia, if I learn it from the Tamid, Afar that tzrichah, you're going to have to also ask yourself, shnei komtzin, mayin. Shnei komtzin b'shachrit, shnei komtzin b'na bayim. O komets achat b'shachrit, o komets achat b'na bayim. Om Reb Yosef, well, klum lamadna lo komets, shlomim in chat chotei. Ma'al anet, shnei komtzin, if you have more, afkan shnei komtzin. No, excuse me. Matan man tzrichle, afacha tzrichle. I don't know that any more than this. Om Reb Chizkiah, and klum lamadna shloshet lugin, lo mitomet shabin arbaim. Ma'al anet, shloshet lugin per carbon, even if it's brought later. Afkan shloshet lugin. No, I'm asking that. Shelo yehei moalim with the efrapora. Says Rav Shimon Menachem Shem Rabbi Yonatan bedinu shimaluba. Vehein gazru shelo yimaluba. That's not the right way to learn. Vatani chatat malamit shemoalim ba. And when it says ba moalim lei moalim beefra. Om Rabbi Avu brishona ayum tkash kashimba. Dodim ba agave makotehem. So therefore they were gozer shimaluba min rabona. Kivan shen nigderu. And they were coming to be overly machmir. Gazru shelo yimaluba. Hi, Rich.
Good morning.
Is it? Alakinim. And remember, we said earlier in the previous Mishnahs, Hayisha Zod b'mayim mitchaperet am Rav Yitzchak tnai beidinu hamesapek et hakinim hamesapek et hapsolot ve'et ha'avudot. We'd have to read that in here too. Hatron lot perak ma'ot shenimtzo. Kol arukin hanimtzayim Yerushalayim tarnu chutz b'shal shukel yon divir rebi merit yesem v'shal kol imot ha'shana shebeemtza tmeim shebetzadim tahirin u'b'shat ha'regel shebeemtza tahirin shebetzadim tmeim mipen sha'amuatim mistakim letzadim. Kol hakelim hanimtzayim Yerushalayim derech yirida l'bita tfilat tmeim derech aliyat ha'orim shelo ki rigdatan aliyatan divir rebi meir. Rebi Yerushi Yomer kulan tarnu chutz min ha'sava ha'magrifa meritza which are miyuchadim likvorot. Sakin shenimtzayit barba asar b'nissan shochit b'miyad but b'shlosha asar yatrim nesupit maybe it was going to be tavul shone u'madbil. Kufitz, bezeo bezeo, shonar matbil, because you can't use it for korban pesach. Chal arba asar liot b'shabbat, shochit b'miyad, and the chamishasar, also obviously we knew we couldn't make it tar before. What am I going to do on yontif if I'm not matayar before yontif? Therefore, shochit b'miyad. Nimtza kshura l'sakin, ariyo k'sakin. Rabbi Yavim, b'shem Rabbi Yishur ben Laivi, he explains. Shuke oyon was because katsurin, shonokhrim mayasham. Omer Rabbi Chanina Rudot, you know, Horim Yerushalayim, Rabbi Golem Shtakim Betam Adakufot Teima Balifnei Chachamim Velo Omer Lehem Davar. Rabbi Simon, Hashem Rabbi Yisrael Ben Levi, says Maaseh Bepirda Mishal Beit Rabbi Shemeta V'Tiaru Adamer Mishum Nevela. So Rabbi Eliezer Shalom Rabbi Simon Ad Kama Velo Agive Shalom Rabbi Yisrael Ben Levi Omer Lehad Rabbi Historia Yoter Bekantamei Ubash Rabbi Eliezer Lo Chazal Rabbi Simon Shmuata Rabbi Bi Aviyati Mati Adin Uvda Omer Leh Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna Ad Kama Ad Rabbi Historia Yoter Bekantamei Ubat Be Omer Leh Rabbi Zrika Begin Da Mishal Lachad Beit Be Omer Leh Begin means in the shear of tumato, which is only kadasha, avodomo could be metamik besor. Claimed he's going, that would be Ali ben Rabbi Yehuda, who says that that's what he holds. Mandi Amar Tahar is the pashtus of what Rabbi Yehuda ben Betorah held. Not that it was Gabi Hechsher, but it was Manish Tahar. Omalei Rav Avdu with the Minachuta, the Yehu, this works out very well, the Rabbi Yehuda, Moraina the Menes Yavid. I thought Rabbi Yehuda said B'shem Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina that Logos will look in Jerusalem at all. Yes, but I even Rav Avdu B'shem Rishon Levi. This isn't the same because it's Katzon Shanachrim Ayasham. I thought Logos were like in Jerusalem. But the kimach nims a derech yividel abedatvila nasu hochiach. Aber Shaul aya kore otam tziporim, not meritzim. My demandiom at Tziporim, because they look like a bird beak. Shdomel at Tziporim. Mandiom at Miritza is because it's a very effective way. Miritza et ha'evan lebet ha'kvarot. Kofitz, tani ha'sakin kshura la, arezo kemota. Parochet, she need to make bivlara tumam at bidunota befdimach tzinota miyad. She need to make bivlara tumam at bidunota bechutz, and we have to wait until Erev Shemesh. So shal tchinota bechel, mitnei she tzucha Erev Shemesh. Imai tach adasha, shal tchinota agaba yitzaba, kedei she yireh amet milakta she inoha. Shemen Gamliel omer mishum revishum ben Asgan, parochet ov yatefach, al shimen vishtayim nimim or nirin nereget, הכל נימה ונימה 24 חוטים, אורכה 40 אמה, רוחבה 20 אמה, ו-82 ליבו הייתה נעשית, ושתיים עושים בכל שנה, ושלוש מאות כהנים מדבילים אותה. אם הוא אמר חוט אחד כפול, שניים, שזור שלושה, מוש זור לשישה, multiplied by the four, meaning, then you have 24. The brighter says 32, because אם הוא אמר חוט אחד כפול לשניים שזור, שזור would be 4, מוש זור 8. So then times 4, מכאן נתת מטרין. The other bright that has 48, because Ilo Amarchut, 1 kafut 2, it should have said Kliyah for a braid, which would have been 3. Shazur would have been double braided, which is 6. Moshzor is double Shazur, which is 12. Times 4, Mikan, 48. Ketuv Echad Omer Maaseh Rokeim, and Ketuv Echad Omer Maaseh Choshev. So Maaseh Rokeim is Patsuf 1. Maaseh Choshev, 2 Patsufot. Rabbi Yehuda HaMelech, Echad Omer Maaseh Rokeim, Arim Mikan, Arim Mikan. Maaseh Choshev, Arim Mikan, but Chalak Mikan. Harna Omer Maaseh Rokeim, Arim Mikan, and Chalak Mikan. What is that the years of Arim Mikan? Maaseh Choshev, Arim Mikan, and Nesher Mikan. 82 Ribo, Etan Aseit. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bizna, Shem Shmuel, says the Sholosh Meot Kohanim is a Guzman. So now, פעמים שהיה עליה כשלוש מהזכור, רבי יוסי ורבי בון בשם שמואל, גוזמן.
גוזמן עם